From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made each time an employee shows up to work sick. Maybe that person has a cold, maybe it's something more serious, but they felt like they needed to go in that day because they couldn't afford to take an unpaid day off, or in more serious cases, they were worried about losing their jobs. Last month, during his State of the State address, Governor Andrew Cuomo proposed a plan to address this issue. His proposal would require businesses in New York with more than 5 employees to provide a certain number of job-protected paid sick days to their workers. The number of workers at the business would determine how many sick days they would be awarded. Workers' rights group applauded the plan, saying the progressive measure would protect workers and families. But some leaders in the business community have pushed back. They said it's already difficult to do business in New York State, and some companies, small businesses specifically, wouldn't be able to operate with such a rule in place. According to Politico, the pro-business group Unshackle Upstate surveyed 100 upstate businesses at the end of last year and found 91% expect the 2020 legislative session to worsen the state's business climate, with taxes and employer mandates as the top two causes. So what's next for the governor's proposal? In 2014, a plan similar to it went into effect in New York City alone. Could it work in the rest of the state, specifically in upstate and western New York? Our guests this hour offer different perspectives on this issue, and we'll welcome them now to the studio. The owner of Hedonist Artisan Chocolates and Ice Cream, Jennifer Posey, celebrating 13 years in Rochester.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here. Also with us is Larry Knox, who's political and community coordinator for 1199 SEIU. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Put your headphones on, everybody. I want you to be able to hear our beautiful voices. Andrew Brady needed no such instructions. He's the CEO of the Accelerate team. He's the co-founder of the Rochester chapter of Conscious Capitalism. Welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Evan.
A brief moment for me to remind you that we're on the second to last day of our winter membership campaign here at WXXI and your public radio. And we would love for you to join your friends and neighbors who have called to become members this week. If you're a Connections listener with any regularity, I hope you appreciate the programming. And I want to tell you that most cities in the country do not have 2 hours of a local talk show. Not anymore. That is because, well, resources can be scarce and we've got to work hard to figure out what to do with them. We'd like to be here and be strong well into the future. And if you want to help that out, you can do that right now. We need you to do that at 454-6300. 454-6300. Call it now. And this hour alone, we have a couple have been members for a long time offering to double the contributions. So whatever you call and contribute right now at 454-6300 is going to be doubled. You don't have to do it on behalf of Connections. We'd be honored if you did. But the bottom line is public radio in general needs support. Great journalism needs support. Please call 454-6300 or you can jump online, WXXINews.org. We've set it up to do it in 2 minutes or less. Everyone's busy. We know you are. You're getting ready for lunch or whatever's going on in your day. We don't want to interrupt you too much, but we do need all of our friends and neighbors to work together on this. 454-6300, thank you for your support on that. So here we are with this proposal. And the first thing I want to do is just sort of ask Larry to kind of lay out what we know about what the proposal would sort of do here. And from your perspective, why you think it's happening now and why it needs to happen now.
Yeah, the governor put in his budget.
Grab it. Larry, how many times have you been in the studio? Grab that microphone.
I was thinking about how much I was going to give to XXI.
Lost
the distraction.
There you go. Go ahead.
So, like Westchester County and New York City both in the past have enacted the same legislation. And I think the state partially had looked at the results of that because these weren't things they did recently and saw that there was positive effects in regards to worker retention. The businesses that, you know, were in Westchester County and New York City both, you know, came back from studies and from conversations that they didn't have the bad effect that many had thought that it would. Also, surrounding states have started to do it. So for a competition aspect, especially for maybe some of the larger businesses, making sure that, you know, we're still in the same par if somebody's trying to figure out where to go and one state offers paid sick leave and another doesn't, especially since we've added family leave time now. And it's just a thing that's happening more and more across the country. And this New York State trying to be, you know, in the forefront of making sure, you know, while still keeping the businesses in mind of, that's why we're not offering 10 or 20 sick days, you know, something that's reasonable, you know, 5, depending, and if you're less than a certain amount of employees, just job protection if you do happen to call in, if you're larger, a few more sick days, but just making sure that people that are working are able to take care of their families. And there's a public health angle where you don't want people sending sick kids to school or coming to work sick or, you know, doing other things that are not good for public health because they're not able to take care of their health at home.
Let me read more from the proposal here. Businesses with 5 to 99 employees, so that's the category, the first category, between 5 and 99 employees would provide at least 5 days of job-protected paid sick leave per year. Businesses with 100 or more would provide at least 7 paid sick leave days per year. Businesses with 4 or fewer employees would have to guarantee 5 days of unpaid leave. Small businesses already providing paid sick leave could continue to do so, and the proposal could take about a year or more to become a reality, according to some of those who have proposed it, including a downstate Democratic senator, State Senator Brad Hoyleman. Why not let the business community decide how they're going to set this up? That's one of the things I hear from a lot of business owners, that we're trying to address this. We don't want people coming to work sick, but we have different needs, and we've been trying to address this for years on our own. Why does the state need to
step in? I mean, there's plenty. They haven't done it. I mean, this isn't a new issue. This isn't something that other countries and other states and other cities haven't addressed, you know, years ago and sometimes decades ago. And this has been a growing need, especially with paid family leave passing, that there's just been an increasing understanding that people needing to be able to take care of their health is more of a paramount issue. And that affects not just the business, but the community as a whole. And I think the governor and other advocates have said this, this isn't something where we have like 95% of the businesses in the state were offering this. Let's try to figure out how to get the last 5% there. It's nowhere near.
All right,
that.
But do you think workers feel like they can't take sick days?
Yeah, most workers, I think, feel like they can. I mean, luckily, I'm in a position that I'm able to. I work for a union, though. It's something that's been negotiated in our contracts. If you work in a salary job and you're, making more money or upper or middle management, but if you're an hourly worker, or if you work for a business where, you're just paid if you show up, if you're sick and you're, living, maybe month to month or paycheck to paycheck, you really can't afford to give up, that money that you're making that day. If there's no other choice or option, people come in. I don't think they feel like, especially if you don't have paid time off, vacation time, all these other things that aren't guaranteed at a job.
Well, Jen, how many employees does Hedonist have?
We have 15, sometimes 25 in the summertime.
You've grown.
Yeah.
Going a lot
yeah.
over the years.
Yes.
Tell me how you think this proposal could impact you.
Well, it all depends on who gets it. If the part-time, brand new part-time workers come in and they get to have sick days right away. It's not really fair if we have someone who's worked there for a couple of years and has earned their paid time off. We do offer paid time off for our full-time employees, and they earn this, and we want them to have it, and if they need to be sick or they want a break or whatever. But they've earned it after being there a year and working at least 1,000 hours. But if we were to just have this, everybody just receive that without earning it and being a part of Hedonist for a little while, that I would see that as unfair.
Okay, so let me just kind of jump in and say that I think, and I don't want to speak for the governor or advocates of the law, they would probably draw a distinction between someone who's new to a company earning vacation time versus earning sick time, and saying the first day in the door, you ought to be able to at least know that if you truly are ill or, what category of sick you're in, that you don't have to be at work, at least within reason. Is that unfair?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
When people call in sick at work, we're like, okay, that's fine. We'll figure it out. But then if it gets a little out of control, like what's going on, then we'll have to get a doctor's note and that thing. And the people that really need their income to pay their rent and stuff, we'll work something out. Our staff, our supervisors will work something out. Okay, you were sick on Monday and Tuesday. Okay, you can work on Saturday and Sunday. We'll try to figure it out so everybody, we get our job done and everybody gets what they need to earn to make their way.
I think the proposal covers if it's 3 or more days that you're out, you would need a doctor's note or some kind of other understanding.
Documentation, so sure.
Right, making sure somebody's not, on vacation as opposed to being sick. So I think there is, that is something that's covered. That's
warning against abuse, but generally speaking, would you support this proposal?
I don't know. I still don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I have to hear more details because, like, what if, I just hired 5 new people and they are, sick within the first month and they haven't actually to see if they're going to show up and continue to be a part of Hedonist, which happens. We hire people and they stay for about 6 weeks and then they move along. And if they've already used some of that sick time, then our staff that we have throughout the years, they kind of lose out on their raises and stuff. If we were to, right now, if everybody was to just get 5 days of sick time, that would cost us about $10,000 just right now. And then that would mean like one part-time person or many people's raises throughout the year. So I'm not really sure how I feel about it. So I'd have to really see all the details.
Okay. Well, give me, before I turn to Andrew Brady on this, give me your concern as you hear more about this. In your own mind, you're thinking, well, the worst case scenario, if this, you know, has the unintended consequences that are troubling, what's the worst case that you think could happen?
Oh, I'm not, I don't really, I, well, right now, the way that it's written, it's like, it's a, the number would be $10,000 approximately.
So it's raises for employees.
Yeah. What we wouldn't have, we wouldn't be able to buy equipment, stuff like that. We'd be spending it on this versus investing more into our employees, what we already have doing.
Okay. Andrew Brady, who is the CEO of the Accelerate team and the co-founder of the Rochester chapter of Conscious Capitalism, does this proposal fall under the umbrella of what you consider to be conscious capitalism?
Yeah, you know, I think as we were talking about earlier, there's been certainly a decline in worker power in their ability to organize over the last several decades. And so it becomes very difficult. You know, a lot of times you'll hear a small business owner, I'm not saying this is the case for Jen, it sounds like she has a very, you know, nuanced, you know, version of what she would or wouldn't support. But many times it's, well, you know, this was an employee willingly took this job, and so they should, you know, they should have negotiated for more if they needed it, and it really doesn't take into account that kind of lack of negotiating power for many employees, especially if they're in poverty. They can't afford to, you know, have a few days off of unpaid, and they're kind of on that razor's edge of whether or not they can make ends meet for that week or that month. And so, you know, it does become very difficult. And even though you'd like to see as many folks as possible do this somewhat willingly as business owners, I think setting a certain ground rules for an acceptable floor is necessary in a lot of cases.
Looking at some of the more of the motivation, Syracuse.com reports there are currently 1.3 million New Yorkers, many of them in the restaurant industry, who are often unable to take time off work if they're sick. Cuomo's office has put the number at 63% of restaurant workers and cooks reporting having served or cooked food when they were ill. So the goal is not to have to do that for a lot of reasons, not to feel like you're going to lose your job, not to have people serving food or cooking food when they're ill. I mean, I certainly understand that. Andrew, do you see a possible downside? I mean, do you see a worst case scenario here of an unintended consequence?
You know, I think it's really it's almost funny to look back over history, and you can find quotes on people who have said things against, oh, you know, these child labor laws are really going to crush us, and, you know, kids should be able to, you know, work and things like that. And same thing for 40-hour work weeks, all different sorts of things. But the truth of the matter is we as human beings tend to take a lot of short-term risks that don't serve us very well in the long term. You see all kinds of societal problems, whether it's, you know, obesity epidemics or climate change, all sorts of things. And we are likely to take those short-term risks to maybe come in when we shouldn't be coming in for work, maybe even getting other people sick. So I think the potential downsides, I think some of them, you know, were brought up in terms of, you know, if you have a brand new employee and they're calling in sick in their first week, well, sometimes people do get sick and sometimes people can take advantage of the system. And I get that. But I think, I don't know, I guess I'm fundamentally in my view of human nature is that most people aren't gonna do that, and we shouldn't be too for the 1 or 2% that will take advantage of it. We shouldn't be too I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna turn back to Jen on that in just a second, because I do want to kind of get a sense for, well, a general view of how the workforce sort of either does or does not try to take advantage.
Well, the legislation,
of that. But, yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Proposed parts of or like the coalition that supports it, there are ways to address that. They've heard that from business owners. Like the crew time can be used after 90 days. The first 90 days, that there's a proposal that maybe the first 90 days, and maybe this will get changed to 60 or 120 as a new group.
But would be exempt from this?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that way somebody just can't start for 2 weeks, you know, and then take the last 5 days off for free vacation, then quit because, you know, I didn't like the job, but I want to leave it. I mean, that kind of thing would be potentially that be covered. Sick time accrues on the basis of 1 hour earned for every 30 hours worked up to the cap. So, you know, the fight. So it's if somebody's part time, maybe it takes a little bit longer for them to get to the 5 days, then than if they're full time. This isn't like end of legislation. I mean, it's just things that are proposed, but something to think about. But especially your concern about, you know, a new employee. I mean, there's talk, you know, depending on the job, you know, if it's a domestic worker, maybe it's a little bit different, that the first 90 days, you know, the sick time may not be there. Maybe it's a little bit less. So there are business concerns have been taken into account in regards to, at least in regards to people gaming the system.
All right. And I think what I'm hearing from Andrew Brady, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that over our history, we've often warned that something is going to tear down the fabric of the business community or society, and that we adjust, and that generally speaking, it goes fine. Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, and I think that we should be proud as a society that we, over the course of centuries and, you know, over the course of history, that we are ratcheting up kind of what that baseline floor is of what you can expect from a decent job.
Fair. But then I think of people like Jen, and if she's now in a position where she's going to have to decide, can I update this equipment? Can I replace this equipment? Can I offer raises to employees? Can I hire an additional part-time worker? And if the answer is no to at least some of those questions because of this law, I'm not saying that that sort of categorically eliminates the benefits of the law. There's always going to sort of be push and pull. But are you at least sensitive to the fact that it may make things tighter for some businesses?
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, she brought up a few things, and some of it sounds like some of the concerns are being addressed in terms of some of the legislation or you know, potential addendums to it. So I think that the small business owner should be kind of taken into account. You don't want to do too much to take away from potential investments in those sorts of growth opportunities. But I think that there's definitely a lot of room for a middle ground.
Okay. And as I turn back to Jen, I want to tell our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. And I want to know specifically if workers feel like they cannot call in sick. Are you worried you can't do it? You either won't get paid or you lose your job or there'll be other consequences. Does it sort of drive you crazy when your co-workers come to work when they're clearly sick? 844-295-TALK, says the guy who's taken one sick day in 6 years. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Jen, do you think it is a small percentage of workers who might try to take advantage of rules to benefit themselves? I certainly hope you don't think as a business owner it's the majority, but do you think, where would you put the number? I mean, like, you've been doing this, especially at Hedonist,
for
13 years.
That's a hard number to land on. I mean, at Hedonist, we never want someone to come in sick. But if they're saying, if, you know, I'm sick, I need a mental health day, it's different than, like, having the flu. And we still want people to have their days off. But let's, as a team, as a workforce, let's not suddenly be kind of sick 2 days before Valentine's Day when it's, you know, it's an important time.
Lots of people get sick on Fridays too. Did you notice that?
Yeah. My staff is great. I have a great staff right now, and everybody's working together, and people step up when someone's feeling bad or feeling sick or needs a day off. And we all need days off, all of us. But let's try to have them in the time when we don't need to be working so hard, the week before Valentine's Day, week before. And of course, if you have the flu or whatever, then don't come into work, me included. But we can make up for that. You know, as a business owner, I don't get sick days. I mean, yeah, I might be sick for 3 days, but I guess who's coming in on the weekend? And we try to make that available to our staff too. But your question about, like, how many people take advantage of the system?
Yeah.
Well, there are some, and after a while, like, someone calls in sick and it puts a drain on me and our staff. After a couple times of that, then we ask for the doctor's note. Then we start kind of weeding them off the schedule, like, hey, you're not showing up. You're not being a part of the team. We have to deal with staff that way. But we try not to have that environment at Hedonist.
And let me also, just because I suspect we would hear from listeners if I didn't just address this, it's a sensitive subject that needs probably its own exploration. But mental health days, I think people are viewing in a different and more serious light. And I know,
sure.
And I appreciate that. I think what I'm hearing from you is just that, you know, mental health matters, but are we sort of claiming that as a form of maybe gaming a system as opposed to needing that? And that's tough. That's hard to make that distinction. You know, I mean, if someone is throwing up, that's cut and dry. If someone feels like they need a mental health day, it's hard to sort of put your finger on.
Yeah, when I said that, I mean, like, I'm tired today. I just would really like to sit on the couch and watch TV and not go to work kind of day.
Yeah, drank a lot last night, didn't get much sleep, you know, whatever. Yeah, but okay. So I appreciate that. Larry, you want to add to that? Go ahead.
I think an important distinction, too, with the law is not just – it covers families, too. So I'm thinking more so like, you know, you have a mother who has a sick child and – or maybe it's a single mother and, you know, I have to stay home with the kid and I'm also losing that pay or, you know, because I can't afford the daycare because we need more daycare help, which is another issue. But I think it's understanding that, you know, for the family structure, especially for, you know, kids, you know, being able – you know, you want to send that sick kid to school. And it's an extreme example with the virus, you know, that's going on right now. And luckily, mm-hmm. we don't have any cases here, but just smaller versions of, you know, of the flu and other things, you know. And just a general idea, and especially with the conversation around healthcare right now, which is another conversation obviously business owners have a lot of voice in, the fact of preventative care. And if somebody's not taking care of something early because they can't take the time off from work, and they end up using the emergency room as their first point of contact with the healthcare system, mm-hmm. as opposed to a doctor's visit or going to a clinic because they had that time off, that's more cost in the system for us as taxpayers and for the community. So I think those are other kind of side issues that aren't directly related to I have a bad cold, I'm staying home. It could be something that compounds. And when paid sick leave has gone into effect, we've seen, lessening of those of people that are businesses that have that. They've used these sick days and then they have less emergency room visits. They've had, you know, kids that are doing a little bit better because they've been able to stay home. And there's a lot of other side effects for the community and for the families that are improved because of these days. And most people do not use all 5-6 days during the year or use the max amount of sick days.
Sure.
Most of the time there's days left over.
Yeah. And so to also be fair, let me read some more of the opposition that's been sort of collected in different publications. Here's from Politico. Upstate New York business groups say the proposal will further depress the region's economy and chase jobs out of the state. Unshackle Upstate, a coalition of upstate business and trade organizations, noted that the proposal comes on the heels of phased-in minimum wage hikes and paid family leave. Michael Crocker, the exec director, says, quote, in broad strokes, this is yet another mandate on employers in a state that already stacks them on top of one another. It's not just the tax climate that New York small businesses contend with, end quote. Senator Dianne Savino, a Staten Island Democrat, said the proposed mandate does not align with the rhetoric Cuomo used to explain tax cuts he proposed for small businesses earlier in that same speech last month. And she said, quote, you can't on one hand say small businesses are struggling in our state and then saddle this on top of them because there is a cost associated with this, end quote. And again, she pointed this out the same thing that Crocker did. It comes in addition to paid family leave, $15 minimum wage hike, etc. Jen, any of those thoughts ring true for you as a business owner? How would you describe the business climate from your perspective as a small business
owner?
Well,
there is a lot going on. There is a lot going on there, and it's hard. I'm a very small business. We have 15 employees now, but you know, trying to get somebody a 50-cent raise is a lot of energy. You know, we're trying to be clever on like getting money for that person, and then suddenly the minimum wage goes up, and the people who just got raises are like back at the beginning again. And so when you add all those things up, it does get kind of overwhelming. Like, oh well, and so what are we going to do? We're going to persevere, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to figure it out. But that's a lot of stuff for someone as small as me. Now, if I worked for, you know, McDonald's or something like that, some big place that had lots more money and had bigger margins, then it'd probably be different. But I'm not. I'm just a handcrafted little chocolate place, and we're all just kind of, you know, doing an artsy little thing.
Larry and Andrew, can you respond to some of that? Larry, what did you make of some of the opposition there from Unshackle and Senator Savino?
I would say that's why we need to have a conversation about addressing that. I would also say, I'm not going to say specifically about Unshackle, but a lot of those business groups, if you look at their rhetoric, still, we should still be making $4.25, which is what I made when I started working in my junior year of high school, not, you know, way too long ago. I mean, they've been against the minimum wage increase every year. There's always been a reason, no. And each time the minimum wage has gone up, we have not had the disasters happen that they've talked about. I mean, if you're talking about being more progressive and including helping the business climate and the family and the community at large with people being able to bring income back into the community. You know, somebody that said no to the minimum wage every time it's been increased, technically you still think it should be 425 or 375 whenever you first started talking about it.
Or some argue that there ought not be a minimum wage and that the market will set it effectively.
Yeah, the market doesn't do well in regards to looking out for the workers. They do well in looking out for the shareholders and for the executives.
Andrew Brady, what do you make of some of the opposition that business owners, people like Michael Crocker from Unshackle, have said?
Yeah, in terms of the market, I think that, again, power accumulates in a market, and there needs to be some kind of regulatory force to make sure that's a little bit more balanced. And I think that when we're looking at some of these regulations that are out there, you know, you kind of get those reflexive reactions from some of the groups that you mentioned that are often just whatever the regulation is, no matter what, it's negative and not recognizing how that really, I mean, if you want to look at a broader scale, we were talking about healthcare, we talk about, you know, the nation overall, since we've adopted over the last 20, 30 years a more neoliberal, you know, let the markets decide sort of a paradigm, inequality has only increased, and there's all kinds of studies that show that's really how nations and empires have fallen over the course of history, is that that inequality keeps ratcheting up in the capitalist system. But then on the other hand, usually if you can have a democratic system to kind of counterbalance that, to spread power more broadly and opportunity more broadly, then it creates more inclusive growth, which in the long run helps everyone out, versus some of this more extractive growth that really really can end up hurting a lot of people. And the other thing I just wanted to mention really quickly, because I was listening yesterday to your show and some of the people talking about socialism, you know, and in terms of all the political rhetoric going on right now, and a lot of times people talk about socialism, and again, there's this knee-jerk reaction against it, but I actually think that the way that most people define it in our current political conversation, they raise up the Nordic model in this view of socialism, and the Nordic model is actually not socialist.
It actually has a lot of capitalism.
It's extremely capitalist. They basically set a baseline floor for, you know, here's what health standards should be, here's what education standards should be, to spread that opportunity as broadly as possible. And then they do let, you know, innovation and the dynamism in the innovation of the markets really decide where to go beyond that. And that leads to, you know, shifting the balance of worker power a little bit, because if they don't have to worry about, gosh, well, if I change jobs, I have to figure out, you know, my healthcare situation, and I have to figure out how to make ends meet and all these sorts of things, then they have a little bit more power for some of that negotiation. And they also just have, you know, a little bit of a chance that it's even been shown that since this has all been happening over the last few decades in the United States, that, you know, it's harder for people to go out and try starting a new business. So it hurts entrepreneurship mm-hmm. when you're not able to take a risk like that, because you don't have at least some bare minimum safety net.
Well, you're certainly right that this country has had what amounts to, and if I'm being sort of blunt, a really dumb conversation about what socialism is, led by the fact that 10, 12 years ago, I mean, when Barack Obama wanted to take the top marginal tax rate from 37 to 39%, we were told that was socialism, which is just intellectually bankrupt sort of, and just injures the public's ability to actually understand anything about the function of government. But that was mostly commercial talk radio and the kinds of people who get presidential medals of freedom leading that. So anyway, we are still dealing with that today. You're right. And there should be more nuanced conversations about what we're actually discussing here. Let me get our only break of the hour. We're going to come back to more of your feedback. So if you're on the phone, if you've emailed, we're going to work through some of your comments there. And in appreciating the conversation this hour with our guests, you just heard Andrew Brady, the CEO of the Accelerate team and the co-founder of the Rochester chapter of Conscious Capitalism. Jennifer Posey is the owner of Hedonist Artisan Chocolates and Ice Cream. And if you're at the Susan B. Anthony annual dinner celebration, the birthday celebration, you notice the Hedonist was everywhere last night, and it was very good. Larry Knox, political and community coordinator for 1199 SEIU, and we're back to your feedback next. Coming up in our second hour, supporters of Senator Amy Klobuchar make the case for her candidacy. We talk about the issues that animate their support of the Minnesota senator, who surged to a third-place finish in New Hampshire and is hoping to use that finish to catapult her to a national platform. She wants to be the consolidated favorite in the centrist camp for the Democrats and unite the party. Can it work? We'll talk about it next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We're here because Governor Andrew Cuomo has put forward a proposal that would change some of the rules for how businesses, particularly small businesses, operate in regard to paid sick leave. The proposal includes this. Businesses with between 5 and 99 employees have to provide at least 5 days of job-protected paid sick leave per year. Businesses with more than 100 employees would have to provide at least 7 paid sick leave days per year. Businesses with 4 or fewer would have to guarantee 5 days of unpaid sick leave. And the governor and advocates for it say too many businesses haven't done this on their own. It's important to protect workers. It's important to protect the public, especially if there's food service going on. You don't want people coming to work sick, but you don't want people feeling like they cannot miss work. They can't take sick days. So listeners, if you have felt like that, if you felt like you can't call in sick, or maybe you feel like that's fine. Maybe you think the system is working. It's 844-295-TALK if you want to join the conversation. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Steve says, I have a coworker who is dedicated, works extra hours all the time, but legitimately misses no fewer than 10 days a year because he's one of the most unhealthy people on earth. And we just let it slide. We're supposed to report the sick days, but we just don't. He's basically saying, this guy's legitimately sick a lot, but he's also really good at what he does here. Maybe just a bit of a counterpoint that for people who are sick a lot, that it is somehow indicative of someone gaming the system. However, to be fair, as a counter to that, I mean, I don't think that when I say this is representative of all workers at all. But everybody has had coworkers who are a little loose, I think, with time off or pushed it in some ways. So I'm trying to be sensitive to a lot of the feedback coming in. From the business side of things, John says, where's John's email? Says, this is another straw that will break the camel's back in New York State. We're continuing to lose companies to more business-friendly states. And that comes from John. Another says, ask the business owner on your panel what something New York State could do to make her job easier, not harder. Okay, fair enough. So, by the way, Jennifer Posey from Hedonist Artisan Chocolates hasn't said that she's decidedly against this. She wants to see more. She wants to know how this would play out. She is concerned that this would be a $10,000 immediate added expense to the business, which could make it harder to give people raises or buy equipment, but she'd want to learn more. Having said that, this emailer is saying, ask the business owners, what would make your job easier? What's one of the answers?
Well, I would like to have all of my staff have more than 5 unpaid days, 10 or more. And that's something that I'd like to do for the people who have earned it, who have been there, who have gone through the holidays and have showed up to work and done their best. So, and I'd like to provide that to my staff. And we do with our limited budget, and we have 401ks and all that kind of stuff. But we got to be very careful because in order to do that, I have to be very careful with every little thing. You know, we don't have extra part-time people working sometimes, so we can save money for those little raises and for that 401k and for those sick days off. I'm not working with a giant pot of money, so I have to be very careful just to do what we have. So I do want all these things, but I don't have the means to provide all those things.
Okay. Is there one easy thing that you think New York State could change that would start to make it simpler for you to achieve what you want to achieve?
No, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
No,
I mean, like,
fair.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to raise our prices. I don't want to, you know, do those kinds of things. I mean, the state has offered some things, like we work with Rochester Works program, mm-hmm. and we've taken advantage of like matching grants and all that stuff at Hedonist. So we do take advantage of the things that are offered or that are out there for us for a business as small as ours. But I can't think of anything other than, okay, well, give us some money and we'll give it to our staff. Other than that, no.
Okay, fair enough. Let me get Mark in Rochester on the phone. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi.
Go ahead, Mark.
You there?
I'm here. I'm always here. Are you there? Go ahead.
So I had a quick question. My daughter was recently sick. She's 10 months old, and I work for a fairly large company, and I had to take a vacation day instead of a sick day to stay home and care for her. So I know if New York State, when I talked to my employer, they said something about, like, open sickness or something where, mm-hmm. you know, you can take a sick day to care for her. Someone that you take care of.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So you want some clarity on what the law says about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if other states are different.
Right. All right. Mark, hang there for a sec. So daughter's 10 months old. She was sick. His company says it was a large company, told him He can't use a sick day to care for her. If he wants to stay home and care for his sick daughter, he's got to use a vacation day. And the company told him that's according to New York state law. Larry Knox?
Yeah, well, the proposed legislation and what's happening in New York, I'm not sure about other states as much, but in New York City and Westchester, it's included family. So how the state decides to define family, you know, I think that might be up to whatever, you know, as they go into more detail in the budget. But for sure, it would include, like, you know, spouse or significant other and the children that are in the house. Like, if you have parents living with you, that may need to be something that's added or not, or that might come under, you know, the paid family leave, depending how long that is. But for sure, that includes, like, your spouse and children that are in the house.
But what the company told him, at least for now, is accurate. Is that fair? They were not wrong to tell him, if they chose to do it that way, we're not going to let you use a sick day. We don't have to let you use
a sick day. I'm not sure.
Okay. Jen, would you know how that would work?
I'm not sure about it. I think, I mean, at least at Hedonist in our situation, like, the, you know, it's there, the sick days or vacation days. I mean, in the end, I can only afford so many days. So here's your days and
use them how you see fit.
Yeah.
Actually, and the law kind of proposes to add, I'm looking at some of the notes here, like if the school or business closure, like, you know, snow emergency and halfway through the close schools early, you got to get home. Technically, it's not using vacation day. It's kind of like, you know, using that as a sick day, because I think that's more of a community health kind of concern.
Right.
And also for domestic violence, sexual assault, where if you're going through that kind of situation and, you know, you need not to come to work, but, you know, you don't have the vacation time, you can use sick time for those purposes. And that's probably a deeper conversation with how do you explain that, talk to your employer about that. But those are ways they're trying to give people those options of taking advantage of the services that are offered without weighing, I can't lose that money at work.
Yeah.
I need to address this other issue.
Yeah, my first full-time job out of college, I was with a company that offered, they called them bucket days, a bucket of 17 days a year. Use them as sick days, use them as vacation, 17 days. Once those days are up, if you get sick, you are not paid. That's how that worked. But I mean, I know there's different models. And Mark, for you, were you frustrated by that? I mean, what was that like for you as a parent to have to deal with that?
Well, as a father, it's frustrating because, you know, obviously we like to use our vacation days for things that are more fun and everything else. And granted, I would rather be at work than to have to take care of my 10-year-old sick daughter. I mean, I had to, but you know, in terms of like work, you know, going to work is probably easier than doing that. And to have to use a personal day or a vacation day mm-hmm. instead of a sick day, you know, and they said it was state, that it was like our state didn't necessarily provide that for, you know, people that work in New York State.
Yep.
So that was just my frustration in terms of like, if it's a policy thing, why can't we change that to where everyone's covered? Because like you're saying, snow days, things like that, and being a new father, you know, I just thought to myself, like, how many more vacation days or personal days am I going to have to use if this happens again?
Right. Mark, thank you. Andrew, what's the conscious capitalism view of this, of you may not be sick, but someone close to you is sick? Should the business be obligated to say, okay, take a sick day?
You know, I think that becomes something that it again harder to regulate, but at the same time, you know, the more that you can provide as much flexibility as possible to your workers, they're going to end up having so much more loyalty to you. They're going to want to stick around longer. That's a big piece of conscious capitalism, is that when you have that kind of culture where people feel like they're cared for, they pour a lot more of themselves back into the business. They stick around longer. There's truly a bottom line impact. And along the way, they're oftentimes working harder. You know, I call it discretionary effort. Like if you aren't committed to the company and your boss is kind of a jerk, you're going to show up and you're going to do the bare minimum to just get by and not get noticed, not get in trouble. There's so much more effort that we as human beings are not only you know, willing to give, but excited to give. If we feel like we're cared for, we feel connected to the purpose of the organization that we're a part of. And so there's so many impacts to that. And so little things that employers can do to be as flexible as possible really do. Again, it might be a little bit of a strain in the short term, but in the long term, there's huge payoffs.
Jen, you buy that?
Yeah, actually, I think that, you know, let's go team. Let's if you need days off, take days off. But it goes both ways. I mean, you know, yeah, it's Christmas time. We all work faster and more efficiently. I mean, right now, Valentine's is happening. Our staff is all aglow and everyone's happy and stuff. And it's really good and positive. And then next week, nobody's going to care about chocolate. And that's a great time to sit on the couch and watch TV all day. You know, so and I'd like to be able to provide that just as long as it goes. You know, there's this work that needs to be done and we have to do the work. And we have to find the time to do the work, and to be paying somebody for not doing any work is really hard to swallow as a business owner. I have to get the work done. There's still chocolate to be made. We got to be packed. We got to clean it. We got to do all these things. And if we can get the team together and rally, and everybody's provided for, and everybody knows they're going to get a day off after the big rush, great. And it's a big positive environment, and that we try to create that there. But the work needs to get done. There's not, you know, if you don't come in for these days and I'm paying for them, how is the work going to get done? I have to come in and do it. I have to absorb it, or I have to find another person to train it. Now, if I made more money or I had more from the, maybe the state was to cover these days, there's an answer for you. If the state was to say, yeah, we, you know, here's some help with that. You know, I think I could, I think our staff would be even more happy. And of course I want to have happy staff. It's a nice thing to have. I like to work in a nice place where everyone's happy and is provided for, and we feel safe, and people, you know, enjoy us, and we enjoy our customers. So yeah.
Let me get Robert in Fairport next. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, looking at this legislation, one thing that a few things kind of stand out. One is the 5 employees. This is crazy how small this is. It's hard to run an operation 7 days a week with yourself. You'd need help, and 5 employees is very small. And what happens for an operation that has part-time employees? Are these 5 full-time equivalents? Does this include part-time employees, et cetera, et cetera? A couple other things. This proposal is for private employers. There's nothing here about nonprofits. Are nonprofits able to skirt this? And the other thing, finally, is if you look at sick time, absenteeism was actually one of the issues for the Rochester City School District as far as the budget shortfall. Substitute teacher costs were a big factor in this. They were underestimated to the extreme, and this all suggests that this is a harder issue to kind of quantify than maybe a lot of people here are expecting.
Hey, Robert, what's the number? 5 you said is too small in terms of a number of employees. What's a realistic number in your mind?
50.
Okay, 10 times the size of that. Robert, thank you very much. Larry Knox, he says that's 5 is a ridiculous number, way too small. Should start at 50.
The legislation proposed talks like, let me just talk first about the part-time, full-time hours. It says, you know, here, sick time accrues on the basis of hours earned. So if you have full-time as opposed to part-time, you wouldn't necessarily, and you don't start right off with 5 sick days or 7 right away. It's something that builds up. So if you have part-time employees, depending on the hours they've worked, that would kind of, I think, address the concern you had about you have part times and full times, and how do the sick hours work? And going back to the issue of the size of the employer, there's no agreement what a right number would be, but the need is still there. Even if you just have 5 employees, just because you have less amount of employees doesn't mean your employees don't get sick and don't have these other concerns or issues. In regards to keeping his concern about a business being able to afford the cost of the paid sick time, again, majority of employers who have done this in other places, the majority of the hours are not used. I mean, the majority of the time, all 5 hours or all 5 days are not used. So this isn't something where, okay, we have paid sick time, I'm going to use all 5 days all the time. Same thing with paid family leave that came out. People aren't just saying, I'm just going to use all my paid family leave and take, get most of my pay and take some time off and act like somebody is, sick. So those aren't things that have shown in other cities and states that have done this. So I think that's, I can see why you would have that concern, but as the data and the studies have been done and the results from other municipalities and states that have done this have not shown that has been a concern from business owners or from the employees.
Any idea, just off the top of your head, if you go from 5 employees as a minimum to categorize small business to 50, how many companies are in that range between 5 and 49. It's a lot, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot. I wouldn't know the number.
So you'd be exempting a lot of companies and workers. Yeah. But, Jen, how do you feel about the idea of changing that number up, going to 50 instead? Because you have 15 employees at Hedonist Artisan Chocolates.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's sometimes nice to be so small or to be like under $1 million business where I don't have the same rules as other people. So I guess I would... It would be good because then I could skirt anything that another thing that I have to do. Again, I do want to have these benefits for my staff, but to be forced to at the expense of maybe not having to let some staff go, to so that some staff could have them. I don't know. At a Hedonist, we're chocolate and ice cream. Most of our employees only stay there for about 8 months, and so. You know, what if we were spending all this money and energy, you know, just figuring it out, and then it's just going.
Mm-hmm. And this will cover everybody. It's not just, he said he thought it was just private, and this is will cover everybody. So nonprofits would also, this is like a state law. There isn't the one place that could be exempt if you have a union contract and you have more sick days, like you could obviously keep that. But this isn't something that nonprofits would be able to avoid.
Okay.
I think one of the things that you brought up as well with the school district, right? Or like if there's a certain employer that is offering some of these paid sick time and another that isn't, for those that are lucky enough to, you know, be in a two-parent household, if one of the employers is really generous and the other isn't, then it's kind of like double duty on the parent with the company with the more generous paid sick time. So I think that's another benefit of kind of having it fair and even across the board.
Let me read an email from to kind of get back to healthcare, which has come up a couple of times. Kat says, I do think this proposal is a really good idea, and I support it. Here's my hang-up. I always thought it was weird that your employer has any control over your health, as in being responsible for providing healthcare benefits. As an employer myself, I feel a huge responsibility to my employees to help them make ends meet, but I would feel extremely uncomfortable making the choice of which healthcare they deserve or I can afford or that they can afford. I think this issue is tied to so much of a greater topic, universal healthcare. I'm of the belief that there should be universal healthcare, not only because our current system is grossly corrupt and unjust, but also for what I already said, which is that it's so strange that the employer is providing health care. And one last thought, that even though this might be helpful to employees at first glance, let's also recognize the level of privilege this requires. Employees need to get a doctor's note. This proposed law assumes that employees have health insurance and would be able to be seen by a professional in a timely manner anyway. That's not a reality for many Americans, especially now that our current administration is rolling back protections of the ACA. Jen, healthcare. How do you feel about healthcare being in the hands of employers?
Well, it is a big burden. I mean, I worry about my staff having enough money to pay their rent and their car insurance and that. And most of my staff is under 26 and is on their parents' insurance. When it came time for some of my staff to, hit the age of like, okay, healthcare, it would have cost them more for us as a business to put together a healthcare plan than it would be for them to go off on their own. And a lot of businesses I hear have a lot of the employees would rather figure it out themselves than have to pay half of the insurance on a business's plan. But I do feel a burden being trying to be responsible for, do my staff have enough hours if they're sick? You know, we have to rearrange the week. We have to rearrange stuff. I do feel that. And we try to make it all work. But it is a burden and a big responsibility, and to think, yeah, how am I going to figure out how to pay for everybody's health care? I mean, I can barely pay for my own health care, so then having 15 people to pay for health care, obviously Hedonist wouldn't be able to exist if we had to do that.
Gotcha. Yeah. 30 seconds, Andrew Brady. What do you say to Kat's point?
No, I completely agree. I think that it's, you're asking, there's a question of what could New York State do to make things easier on employers. I think that would be a huge shift.
Take healthcare out of their hands.
Healthcare out of their hands, a lot less regulation. And again, like I said before, it brings employees a little bit more bargaining power to leave a job when they're not being treated well, or to start a new business if they have a good idea and they want to, you know, take a risk. If that's one less thing that they have to worry about when they're in between jobs, I think that's powerful for everyone.
Medicare for all
is the answer, as you see it.
Yeah.
Okay. And some final thoughts from you on where you think this goes here. Does this have enough support? I mean, Politico, for one, reports that there is it's not a slam dunk in Albany that this goes through.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a big discussion. The fact that the governor put it as a priority in his budget, I mean, the governor doesn't do that lightly. So I think this is something he's really going to fight for. And I think there's a lot of work that's been done in other places that shows this is effective. It's not we're not the first state to do this, and there's other places that have done it, and the results have shown it's been helpful.
Larry, thanks for being here. Larry is the political and community coordinator for 1199 SEIU. Always nice to see you. Thanks for being here. Andrew Brady, CEO of the Accelerate team and co-founder of the Rochester chapter of Conscious Capitalism. Nice to see you back here.
Always appreciate the opportunity.
Jennifer Posey, this is the first time here?
Yep.
I cannot believe that. I've been eating this chocolates for years.
Yeah, I remember when you came in when you were a newscaster.
Back when I had more hair, more makeup, and was on television. She's the owner of Hedonist Artisan Chocolates and Ice Cream. Thank you for sharing your hour with us here. And listeners, as we get ready to head to our second hour of Connections today, remember, it's the second to last day in our winter membership campaign. And we always appreciate your support and listenership of Connections. Most of our listeners are not members. That's just how it works. That was me for many years. I'd like you to be part of that sort of same story, that today was the day you changed it. And I know you. You're saying, I'll do it tomorrow. You're me. You will not do it tomorrow, because I wouldn't do it tomorrow, because I'm the ultimate procrastinator, and I'd figure out next week that I never called. Now's the time to call. 454-6300, 454-6300, 2 minutes or less, become a member of Public Radio. Please support what we're doing at WXXI and NPR. We're right back.